Thank you, Jesus. Just if I could ask the team who are taking up the offering to come up. We're going to take up the offering now. I don't know if that's Dave and your team again. Dave's on fire this morning. Oh, it's Doug. It's Doug's team. Come on, Doug. We're going to take up the offering this morning. Just while we're talking about Dave, Dave, why don't you wave to everyone with the NYPD shirt, their gray shirt. If you're new with us, your first-time visitor, if you are new, we have some couches over here on my right, the orange and red couches, where we'd love to offer you a free cappuccino and just get to know a little bit more about you. And if you don't know anything about us, you want to find out who we are, what we believe, then we'd love to come and meet you over there. Won't you come and say hi? Is there anyone just here visiting for the first time? Would you mind just doing a brave thing and just putting up your hand? Jan, it's been a long time, I know, but I know, I can tell you, I can confirm that you aren't new. Anyone else? Anyone new for the first time? We've got a little youngster at the back there. Welcome, bro. Welcome over there in the corner. Welcome to you guys at the back. Welcome, guys. Great to have you with us this morning. Please come and join us afterwards. David, love to meet with you. All right, let's just bless this giving this morning, the offering. Father, we thank you that you give us seed to sow. You give us bread to eat. And Lord, we thank you that as we sow, we reap an abundance. We reap an abundance of prosperity, Lord, of wealth. You've declared that we are an heir of the world through the blessing of Abraham. And so we give not to get. We give because we've already been blessed. We already are filled with abundance and prosperity. We bless this time, this offering this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Just to say, for those of you that are new, or if you are you've been coming a couple of weeks now and you've never done the new members course, our next new members course is next Sunday morning. It's going to be in the offices next door, so you'll see the building at the corner of Harvey Road there. It's in the offices, it's in our little lounge area. It starts straight after the service. Okay, so that'll be around, give us about 10 minutes to get over there. The elders will be there and we'll introduce ourselves to you and we'll just explain what we're about as a church. And then we'll pray you into membership the following Sunday if you are going to take up that commitment. That's next Sunday morning after the morning service in the hall next door. If you would like to come, you're welcome to just come along. We'll be serving coffee and tea and refreshments. But if you want to just register, it would help. Why don't you just call the church office? Teresa at the front desk will take all your details. And that's next week, Sunday morning. Okay. Awesome. And then don't forget Josh Mills, eh? You can't forget that. 3 weeks' time, 23rd, 24th, 25th of November, absolutely free, but please come with an offering because we want to bless Josh Mills for his time coming out from Canada. That's next, end of November, November 23rd, 24th, 25th, Friday, Saturday, 7 p.m., and then morning and evening service here on Sunday, okay? Right, we're going to continue from last week. If you remember, I shared out of Philippians chapter 4. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to share a message this morning very, very quickly just to wrap up last week's sermon. Being content in every situation. So we're just going to have a look at the first couple of chapters of Philippians where we'll begin to realize why Paul was able to say, I've learned to become content in every situation. Because remember what we said, it's actually a skill to learn. And we are going to find out why and how he was able to learn that. The first thing I want to say, the very first thing I want to open up with this morning is I want you to be conscious of God and see life through his lenses. You know, nothing takes God by surprise. God is always in a good mood. Yes, he does weep when bad things happen. He weeps with us. Jesus weeps with us. But it still doesn't rob him of his joy. He is always happy. He's always rejoicing. And so when we begin to see life through his lenses, no matter what we'll go through, we'll be able to rejoice. We'll be able to be content. We'll be able to be happy. Yes, we'll weep with those who are weeping, but I tell you what, it'll be from a place of joy within our hearts. There's still a rejoicing in the fact that he is good. So you can get that first point there, Ash. Be conscious of God and see life through his lenses. All right, so let's read together. I just want to see a show of hands. Who has access to a Bible this morning? Oh, that's a good crowd. That's a whole lot of you. So we'll just go from the Bible this morning, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 14. How's this one? What a way to open up. Do everything without complaining or arguing. That's everything. You know what everything includes? Just take a box and just call it everything. Then everything you do in life, you put in that box. So it's driving to work. It's getting in the shower. It's having breakfast. It's everything. Everything you do, do it without complaining or arguing. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it is that you, that is an instruction. That's our identity. That's who we are. And then he goes on to say, so that you may become blameless and pure. Now that, a lot of people can read that. You can read that. You've just come into a revelation of grace and you're like, what do you mean? I have to do that to become blameless and pure? I just want to encourage you. If you like to study your Bible and read the scriptures, and you know, every couple of weeks you just go through a couple of verses, and then you come across some stuff which just challenges what you believe about grace, why don't you go look at some other translations? We all have access to the internet these days. We all have cell phones. If you have another translation at home, a King James version, why don't you have a look? And so I want to look at the King James version of that verse. In verse 15, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 in the King James, it says, that ye may be blameless, not become, that ye may be blameless and harmless. So this gives us a completely different perspective on the verse. Instead of that you would become blameless, you would be blameless. What it's saying is, what Paul is saying is, if you do everything without complaining and arguing, you leave no room for the world around you to blame you. And harmless. Harmless being the world can't touch you because you are setting an example. You are revealing your identity to the world. And it's not a case of you becoming blameless before God. You are blameless before God. It's about the world saying, I can't touch him. We actually can't find fault in him. And the more you find who you are in Christ, the more you'll be able to live that life that is blameless. That you may become blameless and harmless. The sons of God, you are the sons and daughters of God without rebuke. No place for the world to rebuke you. And so now we see this is the context. The context is exactly what I'm saying. It's in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We know we're in a crooked and perverse generation. And this is why I'm talking about what I'm talking this morning. We're in a world of negativity. The world has negative lenses on. Even in the first world, where they have so much, places like America, Europe, Australia, they've got so much going for them. They've got such great opportunities. Crime is nowhere near an issue compared to what we face. Corruption isn't as much of an issue. And yet they still have room to complain. And people sit in South Africa and they complain and they moan and they grumble. But I tell you what, if you don't change your attitude, you can go to America or Canada or wherever and you'll still find something to complain about. It's not about your circumstances, it's about your attitude. And so we have an opportunity in this country and in our circumstances amidst a crooked and perverse generation to not complain or argue against what we face. And when you do that, ye will shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not have run in vain, neither labored in vain. Awesome. You see, what Paul's basically saying is, when you do this, when you do everything without complaining or arguing, you're literally holding out the word of life for the world to see. And they see something on you. I tell you what they see, and a lot of people are like, no, we've got to preach more, we've got to tell people, and yes, we've got to take our opportunities to share the gospel and share the love of God with people, but I tell you what, sometimes you don't realize how much of the word of life you are holding out for people to see just by who you are. Amen. And so, my second point is, when you do this, when you are conscious of God and see life through His lenses, you radiate God's nature from within. You see, God's in you, but we need to let Him out. We hold the power to let the world see God. And we have to make a conscious decision to let him out. Let's pick it up in chapter 3. And in verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brother." So now he's closing what he said. And he's very much like Rob Rufus in that he's still got two chapters to go when he says, "Finally." Rob doesn't listen to these messages, so it's fine. "Finally, my brother," in fact, very much like me. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." That's like basic. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice when He blesses you. Don't rejoice when you are blessed, when circumstances are going well. Rejoice in Him. That's who we rejoice in. That's the source of our joy, Him. He's our source of life. And that this morning we took communion, we eat of the bread of life. He's the one who sustains us. We draw from Him for our joy. Now jump down to verse 7. So Paul goes on, starts talking about all the stuff that he's accomplished in life. And in verse 7 he says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." And all of a sudden we're now starting to get a glimpse of why he can say, "I rejoice in the Lord, I've become content in every situation. Because I want nothing else but to know Jesus. Because when I know Jesus, then I truly will rejoice. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish. They are like rubbish in the dustbin, everything I've accomplished in comparison to Christ." Sure, it's not rubbish, but in comparison to Christ, it's like rubbish. That's how glorious Christ is. Can you imagine a mansion in the middle of the beautiful Cape Winelands? I mean, we're talking millions of rands with butlers, and can you imagine all that? That is like rubbish in comparison to the glory of Christ. That is how valuable, that is how beautiful the glory of God is. We're starting to see the secret of why Paul can say what he said. So thirdly, I want to tell you, church, no pleasure on earth, no pleasure satisfies like truly knowing Jesus. That's my third point there, Ash. No pleasure. And notice I use the word truly. Because it's one thing to know Jesus theoretically. It's one thing to know Jesus as a theology. I remember meeting someone who was a Jehovah's Witness, and they said to me, "Well, I became a Jehovah's Witness because it was the religion that made the most sense. It answered all my questions." And you know, I realize a lot of Christians are like that. They become Christians because it makes sense, and all their questions get answered. But my friend, unless you come to know your Savior, unless you come to know Him intimately, unless you have an encounter with His beauty and with His glory, you wouldn't be able to be in a position where nothing else matters. Where you can say, knowing Jesus greatly surpasses owning that mansion in the Cape. It's about truly knowing Him. "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Look at verse 10. "I want to know Christ." So he's already had a revelation of Christ. He's already encountered God. We know the revelation he had on the road to Damascus. And now he's still saying, "I want to know Him." We should never become satisfied in our journey where we say, "I've had a revelation of Jesus. I know what He's like." No, my friend, you want to know Him. You want to know Him deeper. You want to know Him more intimately. Paul's saying, "I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection." His resurrection accomplished so much. I want that power. I know what it accomplished. I want to see that power. And know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. This stuff was still like, I don't even understand it, but Jesus, I've tasted and I've seen, and somehow I want to know what it's about. I want to know what was accomplished at the resurrection. What happened at the resurrection? I want to know it, Jesus, and I want to know you. I want us to jump down to verse 12 there. And he says, I love this about Paul. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Now, you may read that and have to read it a few times to try and comprehend it. But let me read it again for you. I press on to take hold. So let's say it's this bottle of water. I want to, is there somewhere to put it? Never mind. Forget the bottle of water. Let's say it's this microphone. I press on to take hold of that. So let's say this is that. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. So here's me. What happened was Christ took me. He said, you are in a perverse and wicked generation. I am picking you up, Christ now, picking me up and putting you here and saying, Paul, James, I have a purpose for you. The microphone, for instance. I have a purpose for you. And I'm taking you out of this perverse and wicked generation. I'm placing you on the divine journey of your purpose because there's your purpose. Now get on the journey. I've taken hold of you so that you can get to your purpose. And fourthly, this morning, I want you to understand that you have a divine purpose on earth. Keep that in perspective. One of my mottos in life is think big and never give up. Never give up. Abraham took years before he conceived Isaac. He never gave up. And I tell you what, it's hard, but my friend, you've had a glimpse. You know there's purpose. You know God's placed a divine purpose over your life. But do not give up, because when you keep in perspective that Christ took hold of you for a purpose, you will press on. You press on toward that goal. Let's look at chapter 4 now, and we get to the end. Pick it up in verse 4. Again, he says it. In case we missed it, it was just coming out of Paul. It was just flowing out of him. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, in everything that you do, do it without complaining or arguing. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's a lifestyle. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Anything. That is an encouragement. Holy Spirit, give us a revelation this morning not to become anxious about anything. Because it's easy to be anxious. Not to become anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So bring your petition, bring your worries, bring your anxiety to the Lord. That's what opportunities like this on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Thursday nights, cell group, whatever it is, opportunities to come together and say, Lord, I'm anxious about this stuff, but I'm presenting it before you with thanksgiving because you are good. And I thank you, even though I've got this anxiety, even though I've got these pressures, I thank you that you are still good. And I present it to you and I release it to you. You will look after me. Thank you, Jesus. So, fifthly and finally, rejoicing in the Lord is not about circumstances. It's about who God is and what He is like. And so we wrap it up there from verse 10. He says it again. This is like Philippians is the book. If you want to rejoice in the Lord through anything, read Philippians. He says it again, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need. I'm actually not in need. Because why am I not in need? I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. Friends, this is a godly gospel maturity secret. It takes maturity in Christ to be in this place. I have learned to know what it is. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen, church. No matter what you're going through, I just know there's a lot of people going through challenges. Whatever it is that you're going through, you can do it all. You can do it through Him who gives you strength. Amen. And I hand over to Steve. If that's you this morning, you have anxiety, you have stress, you have pressure, you need the strength of Jesus to carry on. Why don't you just stand this morning and I want to pray over you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just raise your hands out, lift your hands out. You don't have to raise them up, just lift them out, hold them out. Just as a sign of, Lord, I'm giving you my anxiety. Just say that right now. Lord, I give you my anxiety. Lord, I give you my stress. I give you all my worries. And I thank you, Jesus, that you care for me. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would come right now and remove their anxiety. As they hold out their hands before you this morning, yes. Holy Spirit, come and take their sadness, their trials, the pain that they're going through, their anxiety, take it from them and give them a cloak of joy.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, that they would be able to do everything through you who gives them strength. We declare you would give them strength this morning. I release the strength of Christ over each and every one of you this morning in the name of Jesus. The strength of Christ to be made manifest in your mortal body, as Romans 8 says, that you, Spirit of God, would give life to these mortal bodies. And life means joy. Life means happiness. Life means joyful rejoicing in you. We declare we would be a rejoicing church no matter what we go through. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Sure.